So, after Pesach, we'll see if we want to maybe do one more share and finish off. There are things we could pick up on Brachos, but at least until this week and next week, deal with Pesach topic, the Shmos Pesach topics. So I figured we'd start with trying to analyze a little bit of who Moshe is, like what do we know about Moshe from the Chumash itself? And I want to deal with two questions. One is why Moshe was chosen to be the leader. What do we know just from the Psukim itself? And the second thing I want to do is try to figure out where did he get those characteristics that he then uses. He had to come from somewhere, right? Was he just, he grew up in the house of Paro and magically had these characteristics? Or did it come from somewhere? So those are the two questions I want to analyze. So the first thing is to try to figure out who is Moshe, as far as we know, from the Psukim, right? What characteristics does he have? So if you look, we're skipping a little bit in Shmos to after the story of, after he's grown up. So to when he's actually an adult, what are the first things we know once Moshe has free will and is doing something? What are the first things we know that he does? So if you look at the sources, you can look in Chumash either one. So in Shmos, in Perek Bet and Perek Gimel is where we learn who Moshe is as an adult. We'll come back to him as a child, but let's start with what we know with him as an adult. So in Perek Bet, Pasuk Yid Aleph, which is the first thing we hear. We have Vayhi Bayimim Haheim, Vayigdal Moshe Vayitzeh Elachav, Vayar Vesivlo Sam, Vayar Ish Mitzri Makeh Ishifri Meachav. So when Moshe gets older, so he goes out to his brothers, goes out to the Jews, and he sees their pain, he sees their suffering, and he sees a Mitzri hitting the Jew, Vayif and Ko Vacho, and he turns both ways, Vayar Ki and Ish, and he sees no one there, Vayachez HaMitzri Vayitmeneu Bachol, and he sees the Egyptian, he hides the body in the sand. So then he goes out the next day and he sees two Jews fighting, and he turns to the one who's hitting the other one and says, Rasha, why are you hitting your friend? Who are you to judge us? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Mitzri? Vayira Moshe Vayomar Ching Nodadavar. And he was afraid, and because he realized, and he said that now it is known that I killed the Mitzri. And Paro finds out about it. He wants to kill Moshe, so Moshe flees. So the first thing that we know about Moshe, if we had to pick up on his characteristic, his character trait that we get just from these few psukim, right? What would it be? Right, just from these, right? We know this story. The first thing he does is
he has a sense of justice.
Yeah, a sense of justice, sense of sympathy, of empathy, all those words, right? If we were to pick up on the, and we'll see this will become important, what Shadal likes calling the light word, right? The word that appears over and over in this story. What word appears over and over just in these three, four psukim? Vayar, right? Even at the end, when he is afraid, Vayira is not actually the same word, but it's the same. It sounds exactly the same. It's the same letters. It means something different. But the word comes up several times on the sheet. The only reason I reproduced the psukim is just so I could bold it. Right? You could see Vayar, Vayar, Vayar. I didn't even bold all of them. Right? He goes out. He sees their pain. He sees the Mitzri hitting the Jew. He turns both ways and he sees that no one's there. Right at the end, he is afraid. So you see, not only does he have a sense of justice and empathy, right, but he's looking for it and he sees it, right? He both is looking out, he cares about what's going on, and he doesn't just see it, but he internalizes what's going on and reacts. So the first thing we know is that he is looking to bring justice, to be sympathetic, to be empathetic, and that he actually acts on that. That's the first thing we know about Moshe straight from the Psukim. Now, the second thing we know about Moshe, right, so after this, he flees to Midian, and we get this same character trait times two, right? If we just continue in the Psukim, Vayishma Paro, so after he flees, Chen Midian Sheva Banot, so the he comes to Midian, and the priest of Midian has seven daughters, and they come to water their father's flock, and then the shepherds drive them away. And Moshe saves them and gives water to their tzon. And etc. Said, why did you come so fast? Because a Mitzri saved us. Where is he? Bring him here so he can eat. So he moves in to his into Yisro's house, to Ruel's house, and he marries his daughter. And that's the second story we know. And again, this second story of Moshe reiterates what we know about Moshe. Again, he's looking out for the injustice. He sees what's happening to the daughters of Yitro. He helps them. And that's the first character trait that we know about Moshe. Now, the second character trait we know about Moshe, and here we're going to see the light for it again, which is why even though the second story we know about Moshe also emphasizes his empathy, it's not as central to the story as the third story we're going to look at, is the story of, and the next time we see Moshe acting, and where he's actually going to be chosen is at the Sneh, as the burning bush. So in Perek Gimel, he is a shepherd. Moshe, Perakim Apostle Aleph, Moshe Yaroes, Son Yisro, Hosein, Midyan, Vain Hagis, Atson, Achara Midbar, Bevol, Hara Elohim, Choreva. So he's leading the sheep, and he ends up at the mountain of God, which will eventually be the mountain of God, as Mepharshim know, this will be Har Sinai. And now watch for that light vart again, right? That key word that's going to appear. Vayera Malach Hashem Elav Bilabar Eish, Mitoch Hasne. The Malach appears, now Vayera. Is we translate as appears, but it really means in Hebrew, and he made himself seen. Right? So Vayera, he made him, the angel makes himself seen to Moshe, Vayar, and Moshe sees it. Right? He responds to the Malach making himself seen. He sees it. And he sees that the bush is burning and not being consumed. Vayomer Moshe. So Moshe now says, Asurana ve'ere. Let me turn and see. Right, so it may, again, the Pesukim are drawing attention to this. And what does he say? What is he going to see? Et hamareh, that which should be seen. Mareh, the vision. But again, that which is to be seen. Hagadol hazeh. Madua lo yivar hasneh. Why isn't the bush burning? Vayar Hashem. What's Hashem's reaction? Hashem sees. Right, so you see that it's not just that Moshe sees, it's that the entire Pesukim are built around this, that the Malach appears, he makes himself seen, Moshe sees and turns to see the vision, and Hashem sees that he saw the vision. Vayar Hashem kisar lirot, Hashem saw that he saw, vayikra elav Elokim mitoch hasneh, vayomer Moshe Moshe, vayomer hineini. And then, when he sees that he saw, so he calls out to him and he says, here I am. Vayomer al tikrav halom shal na lecha me'al raglecha. So he says, don't come closer, take off your shoes. Ki emakom asher atel min alav ad mas kodeshu. Because the place that you're now standing on is holy. Vayomer, and then he introduces himself. Anochi Elohei Avicha, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov. I am the God of your forefathers. Vayester Moshe panav. And now again, Moshe hides his face. Ki yarei, again, that play, right, where it's the same letters, but it means he's afraid. Me'abit Elohei Elohim. He's afraid to look at God. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem says, Ra'o, Ra'iti, Et, Ani, Ami, Asher B'Mitzrayim. I saw my people in Mitzrayim and their suffering, that zakatam, shamati mipnei noksav, and I heard their cries, ki adati en machovav, and I know their pain, vayred la silom yad Mitzrayim, la tom min haaretz ahiel, eretz tovam, rachaval, eretz zavat chalav udvash, makom hakanani, etc., etc., and I will send you to take them out of Egypt, and the rest of the story. Okay? Now, so we see from this story a second thing. First of all, before we analyze the story, we see again that light word, that word appearing over and over again. And Ray Forman notes this word, and his formulation I think is nice, that the simplest understanding of just simply reading the Pesukim is that Hashem saw, that Moshe saw, and therefore he chooses him as a leader. And how do we know that he chooses him as a leader? Because he saw that he saw. Because when he chooses him, he says, Ra'o ra'iti ania mi asher b'mitzrayim. I have seen. I have ra'o ra'iti. Right? I've seen that you saw. And I'm picking you because I have seen. Right? The fact the word repeats itself so many times that Hashem is choosing the person who's going to be the vehicle of God's justice, which is expressed because Ra'o ra'iti is the one who Ra'a asher ra'a, who we saw that he saw. So if we tie the two stories together, the word that connects the first introduction we have to Moshe, the second introduction we have to Moshe, is the Ra'a, and Hashem chooses him with the words Ra'o Ra'iti, I've seen you turned, and therefore I'm going to choose you to express my Ra'o Ra'iti, that I've seen what happened to my children. Now what is it that he... So in the first Ra'o Ra'iti, we saw, in the first Ra'iti, we saw that what Moshe was empathetic. He was looking for justice, wanted to express it. What is it that he sees here? Right, what is the characteristic of Moshe we learn from story number two? So what is it that he is ro'eh? Va'ered hamareh, vayomer Moshe, asura na ve'ered hamareh agadol azeh. Let me turn and see this vision. Madua lo yivar hasne? Why isn't the sneh burning? What do we know from Moshe? What does that teach us about Moshe? Right, what is the function of ro'eh, of Moshe seeing in this story? This one's a little bit more subtle. Right? What is it? Right? We have, you know, many English words for this. It's a combination of things, really. It's he's inquisitive, but more than that, he is open to seeing something out of the box. He's open to seeing the miracle. Right? He sees the vision, and what does he ask? Madua lo yivar asna. What's madua? So we've talked about the difference between lama and madua in Hebrew. Right? Lama is lama is for what purpose? Right? Lama Hashem yicherab cha ba'amecha. Why are you getting angry? What do you mean, why are you getting angry? Hashem is getting angry because of the egel. No, it's lama yicherab cha ba'amecha. For what purpose? What will the nation say? What will you gain out of being angry? Madua is the scientific why. Is the, right, in modern Hebrew, mada, is the scientific why. What is the cause of this vision? So he turns, he recognizes that it's a vision, and specifically, he realizes that there's something else going on. And again, the Pesukim say, Vayar Hashem ki sar lirot. Hashem saw that he turned to see. Now, what does this imply? That other people had passed by and they hadn't seen it. Right? That we think, oh, well, we would all notice a burning snap. Well, maybe not. Maybe we're not open to it. Maybe the average person would say, you know, wouldn't pay attention to the fact that it's not being devoured. They're not looking for something out of the ordinary. It wouldn't motivate them to turn to pay attention. Hashem sees that he sees. So the second thing we know about Moshe is that he's not just open, let's say, to the pain of others, what we call empathy, but he's also open to looking for something beyond. That he sees something and he realizes that there's something else. He's inquisitive and he's willing to look into it. He's open to, let's say, this, I guess, the supernatural, whatever. He's open to, there's something being beyond this world. He sees a snap, which is not ukal, and he turns towards it. So the second thing we know about Moshe is that he's open to the possibility of the miraculous, of something beyond this world. And that ra'o ra'iti, the fact that he's capable of seeing two things, is what Hashem makes him choose him, right? I've seen, you're seeing, and therefore I'm going to have you act on my behalf and take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Now, if it weren't clear enough that that this imagery that you pull out of this story is why Moshe is chosen, so in 4, I just summarize, right? Turn to Shmot Yud Tet. Right? If we wanted to prove is if this story was actually not just when Moshe happened to be chosen, but it was the reason he was chosen, we would look for resonances of this story in Moshe's life, right? Meaning, if the Sneh story was simply when Hashem happened to reveal himself to Moshe, so then it's not so important. It won't be revisited. But if, in fact, something about Moshe's reaction at this story was critical to who Moshe was to become, then we would expect him to relive the story. It would be a precursor to something else in his life. And in fact, it is. Because the second, if I asked you without even looking, the second story, if in fact we're right, that what Moshe's characteristic that we're looking for is his ability to see that something beyond, be open to the divine. Right? So what role in life did that prepare Moshe for more than anything else? Right? Where has Moshe reached the climax of that? Where he? At Har Sinai, where he brings everybody else to that point, where he brings all of Klal Yisrael to the point where they will see the presence of God. And if you look at the Har Sinai story is in fact the second iteration of the Sneh story in literally every detail. The easiest one is, where is Har Sinai? As the Sukkim already said, Har HaElohim. It is the same mountain where he saw the Sneh. It is the exact same place. It is Har Chorev. But now if we look at the story in Parak Yutet, so B'chodesh HaShlishi, let's say it's B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, B'yom HaZeh Bo Midbar Sinai. So on the third day of the third month, they come to Midbar Sinai. V'yisum Mirfidim, V'yvon B'bar Sinai, V'achanu B'midbar, V'chansham Yisrael Neged Ahar. U'Moshe Allah Elohim, V'yikrai Allah Hashem in Ahar, L'mor Kol V'tomar L'veis Yaakov, V'sagit L'bnei Yisrael. And he calls to God. And now listen to, once Moshe goes up, and Hashem tells him to introduce this the revelation that's about to happen. So, Pasuk Dalet in Perek Yutet. Atem re'isem asher asisi l'mitzrayim. You have seen what I did to Egypt. Right? You've seen the miracles. V'asaschem al kanfei nisharim v'avoschem elai. V'atam shamoa tishmu b'koli shmartem es b'rizi v'yisem li sigula mikol amim ki li kol aretz. V'atem tiulim m'lechus koinim v'goy kadosh. Right? You've seen what I did. And now if you, in addition to see, you listen, right? If because of what you've seen, because you saw that I performed miracles, you listened to the message, which is what happened at the Sneh, right? He saw it. He was open to something being there, and then God spoke to him. So then you will be my nation. So then, Eilad varim asher tidabrel b'nei Yisrael. So now we continue. Vayavo Moshe vayikra lezeknei ha'am. Vayasam levnem eskol derem vayela asher tzivahu Hashem. Vayinu kol ha'am yachda vayamru kol asher diber Hashem naseh vayishav Moshe derem ha'am el ha'am. So the nation says everything that we, that God says we will do. And Moshe tells that to God. Vayomar Hashem Moshe inenu chiba elecha bavanan bavor yishma ha'am bedabri imach v'gam bechal yaminu lo'olam vayigin Moshe derem ha'am el Hashem. And Hashem says, I will speak to you so everybody will believe in you forever. So this is clear that the Matan Torah story is not just the climax for the Jewish people, but it is presented as the height of Moshe's leadership. This is where God, the people will believe in you because of this experience that you are going to bring them through. Right? You've been preparing for this your whole life, so to speak. Right? You are ready for this, and I will make it clear that everyone will see that you are the person who can bring them through this. And then if we skip down, so Hashem's presence descends onto the mountain. And then if we skip, let's go down to the description of what actually happens. So Pasuk Tezayin. Vahi vayom ha-shlishi b'yosah boker vahi kolos v'rakim v'anan kaved al-ahar. So on the third day, it was lightning, it was thunder, v'kol shofar chazak mod, and the sound of the shofar, v'echarad kol ha-mashar b'machana, and everyone was afraid. V'yitzeim et Moshe es am l'kras ha-elohim min ha-machana v'yitzvazu b'tachdid ha-har. So now Moshe takes them out to God. So now there is a revelation happening on Har Sinai again. Now, in the last revelation that we had on Sinai, how did God present himself? In what, through what vehicle, through what means, through fire, which didn't consume. V'har Sinai ashan kulo mipnei asher yarad alav Hashem ba'esh. That's exactly what happens to Har Sinai. The mountain doesn't burn. It's consumed in fire and smoke because God has descended. V'yal ashan okesh nagishan v'echarad kol ahar ma'od. And the mountain shook. But obviously the mountain didn't burn. Mountains don't burn up. It stayed. So it used to be the bush on the mountain, had God's presence come down and was consumed in a fire which didn't consume it. Now it's the entirety of the mountain which has God's fire descending on it and not consuming the mountain. Vehi kol ha-shofar, holeich, v'chazak ma'od, Moshe yidaber, v'elokim yanenu bekol. And Hashem is speaking. So you have the same mountain, you have revelation through fire that doesn't consume. And if you would add the last comparison between the two of them is, who was Moshe with the first time he came to the Sneh? He was with his flock of sheep. Mm-hmm. Now, how are Bnei Israel consistently described? Mm-hmm. Right? So they are the flock of sheep, to the point where later on, not here, but later, when Moshe turns to God and says, make sure you have a leader, what does he say? This is all the way in Dvarim, and Bamidbar in Dvarim, he says, because I don't want them to be kitzon asher ein lahem ro'eh, like sheep without a shepherd. Moshe views himself as the shepherd of the Jewish people. So Moshe, time one, was a shepherd leading sheep at a personal revelation where God revealed himself in a burning bush which wasn't consumed. And then he leads the people who he himself describes as his flock back to that mountain, which again will have revelation, this time to them, in a fire that doesn't consume the mountain. So if you take it together, it seems clear that it's not just an accident that Moshe is chosen. It seems to emphasize what we said, that his ability to see in that circumstance is what makes him capable of being a leader, and that's why he goes through it again. He gets to lead his real flock to that same experience. And Rashi hints at this in Source 5, in the dialogue between Moshe and Hashem, so he reads into it. V'shesha'alta maschus yesh l'Yisrael sheyatzu Mitzrayim. Chazal, and Rashi quoting it, say that Moshe asked Hashem, what is the schus, with what right will the Jews leave Mitzrayim? Davar gadol yesh li alotza zu. Hashem answered, I have a good reason. Sha'arei atidim l'kabel ha-Torah la-har hazeh. The reason that you are able to take them out is because you're going to bring them back here to get the Torah. So, Shlosha Chadashim, Sheitu Mitzrayim. Davar Acher, alternatively, Kehya Imach, I will be with you. The fact that you will be successful tells you that my other promise will be fulfilled, namely, Shekisha totsiyemi mitzrayim tavdu notiel arazeh, that when you take them out, you'll come back to worship me here. Shetikablu atarah laviyaskudah mezit l'Israel, that they will accept the Torah, and that is the merit with which the Jews will leave. So Chazal pick up on this point, that Moshe asked Hashem, so to speak, why will they be able to leave? And Hashem says, the fact that the mission I'm sending you on through this experience, the reason that I'm sending you, and the reason the Jews are allowed to, is because you're going to bring them back to relive this experience. So I'm putting you through the experience so you can bring the Jews through the experience, and that's what legitimates them leaving. Okay, so that's true. So we know two things about Moshe. And it makes sense, right? What are the two things, the two qualities that Moshe needs as a leader? He needs the ability to empathize with the Jews, with people, right? To stick up for justice, to make sure that people are not wronged. And he needs the ability to be open to the spiritual. He needs to be the ability to be open to God. If he's not, then he can't lead them to be not just, right? Any leader needs empathy. The leader of the Jewish people, of a spiritual leader, needs to be open to spirituality. So Moshe has those two qualities, and when Hashem sees that he has those two abilities to see, the two ro'eh stories, that he can see other people and that he can see God, so then he can be the leader of the Jewish people. Because that's the goal, is to take care of the Jewish people and bring them to Har Sinai. Now, in this sense, it adds a lot to the story of Mitzrayim, because there's much evidence that Moshe and Paro are set up as foils. One of the ways of understanding the story is that Moshe and Paro are the exact opposite of each other. And we'll discuss this next week, in what way this actually expresses itself. But even before we get into the details, If I had to pick the two things that Moshe, that Paro is not good at, that identify him as a leader, so the second point is obvious. He goes through 10 plagues and he doesn't give in. That even as he sees the miracle staring in the, him in the face, he doesn't see. Right? He refuses to see the hand of God. So in that sense, Paro is the antithesis of Moshe. But not only that, he also doesn't see the pain of his people. And if you want evidence for that, the pasuk that captures it the best is in Perek Zayin Pasuk Chav Gimel. So you just turn to Perek Zayin Pasuk Chav Gimel just to see the context. In Perek Zayin Pasuk Chav Gimel, this is after the Makkah of... this is after the first Makkah, right? So this is after the first time that his people are suffering. Right, we're not asking him to have mercy on the Jews. We're asking him to have mercy on his own people. So what happens? So the it's turned into blood. No one has anything to drink. And then Pasuk Chav Bet. Vayasu ken chartumei Mitzrayim belatehem. The magicians of Mitzrayim perform the same miracle. Ve'achazek lev paro v'lo shama lehem kasher diber Hashem. And that hardens Paro's heart. So quality one we see is that he sees a miracle, but the magicians do the same thing, so he denies that it's a miracle. And then, vayifen paro v'yavo el beito v'lo shat libo gam lazot. And he turns around and he doesn't pay any attention to the fact that his, the psukim before, that his people have no water. Right? He is closed to the miracle, and he's closed to the pain of his people. And later on, we'll see it again. Right? His servants will even tell him, right, how much longer will you make Mitzrayim be lost? Right? Will you not give in to Moshe? They're begging not on the spiritual level that he's right, but that they are your people are suffering, you don't listen. So Paro is portrayed as the person who is looking to explain things not as miraculous, and he doesn't care that his people are suffering. He's willing to have them suffer rather than give in. So it's not just that Moshe is empathetic and willing to see miracles. It's that Moshe has to be the anti-Paro. Paro needs to be broken in this story. And again, we'll come back next week to what exactly Hashem is trying to teach Paro. But it becomes clearer that Moshe is not just the right leader for the Jewish people. He is the right leader for the Jewish people who's going to take them away from Paro, who's going to be the anti-culture of Mitzrayim, who's going to both have empathy and be able to be willing to see miracles. And that's why he's the counter to Paro. Paro's failure is what leads to all 10 Makot having to happen. The foil aspect between Moshe and Paro is also emphasized by a linguistic quirk that the pasuk actually draws attention to, which we won't get into what it means, but Paro is over and over described as having two things, chizuk halev and kibud halev. At some points, and this is what I'm going to talk about on Shabbos, sometimes he's described as strengthening his own heart, sometimes Hashem is described as strengthening his heart, sometimes he hardens his own heart, sometimes God hardens his heart, but his heart is described as chazak v'kaved. Moshe is also described as kaved, but kvad peh, right? Moshe is kaved, but not kaved lev. Right? The psukim are drawing attention to the fact that Paro is kaved lev. Moshe is kaved, but he's not kaved lev. It's only his mouth. He can't talk, but he can see and he can feel. He just isn't good at communicating. Paro is kaved lev. It's his heart which is kaved. And chazak is also parallel, but not to Moshe, to God. Right? Hashem takes us out, biyad chazakah, and Paro refuses to respond to the chozek of God because his heart is chazak. So Paro is the anti-God, right? He refuses to recognize God's yad chazakah because his lev is chazak, and he doesn't listen to Moshe's communication through his kvad peh because he is kaved lev. So you see that the whole story of Mitzrayim is this playing out where Paro is the anti-Moshe who is open to God and open to others. He's closed to God and closed to others. Now, that's question one. So who is Moshe? Moshe is empathetic. He seeks justice for the oppressed. And he's looking for God and he's willing to take people that extra step to recognize God. But the second question that we have to ask is, okay, but where did he get those qualities from? Did it just come from a vacuum, or did it come from somewhere? So here, I'm basing myself on a very nice article by Rabbi Chaim Angel. I put a paragraph at the end where he notes that in Pshat, this seems to be true, and in the Midrashim, it's made explicit that Moshe has an origin story. This is how one of my friends, he used a piece from this, I assume, from this article by Rabbi Angel, in his piece on Aleph Beta, where he calls it, right, this is Moshe's origin story, right? Like, you know, Spider-Man has an origin story, he compared it to. So Moshe has an origin story also. But what's his origin story? So Rabbi Angel suggests that it's very simple. His origin story is Bat Paro. He doesn't grow up in his parents' house. He grows up in the house of Paro, specifically Bat Paro. And if we look at who Bat Paro is, there's a lot of reason to believe that this is true. So if we go now to Perek Aleph, so after Moshe is sent down the river, and earlier in Perek Bet, so after his mother can't hide him anymore. So if we get to Pasuk, hey, at that moment, Vateret bat paro lerchot al yor v'narotel chot al yad or Vateret ateva betoch hasuf v'tishlach et amata v'tikachah. Bat paro goes down to the water, and where's the key word? Vateret ateva betoch hasuf. She sees this child floating in the river, and she sends out her, right, her ama, either her hand or her maidservant to take it. Vatiftach, and she opens it. Vatereu et hayeled, and she sees the child. Vihine nar bocha, and he's crying. Vatachmol olav, and she has mercy. Vatomer mialdei hayevrimzeh, she realizes he's a Jew. Vatomer achoto el bat paro, hayelech vekarali lach isha meinekim nevriot, vateinik lach et hayeled, and despite the fact she sees he's a Jew, she realizes he's a Jew, and she is bat paro, instead of killing the child, Miriam comes and says, should I get a woman to nurse the child? She says, yeah, please go. She pays the Jews to nurse the baby and raises the child as her own. So here she sees and understands that this child is the child her father would have deemed should be dead. And yet she sees and she has mercy, and she's not afraid to even have the Jews, right? This Jewish woman turns out to be his mother, nurse the baby, and she pays for it. She calls him Moshe because she took him out of the water. Now if we continue, what's the next pasuk? Right? It's she saw and had mercy, so he goes out and has mercy on the same people. So the psukim again seem to be drawing attention to the fact that yes, he has empathy, but it doesn't come in a vacuum. It's because his adopted mother, who raised him in the palace, had the ability to see the Jews and have mercy even against Paro, which is what Moshe ends up doing. Remember, Moshe has to flee because Paro sees that he killed a Mitzri to protect a Jew. Well, that's exactly what Bat Paro did. She put her life on the line by defying Paro and taking care not just of Moshe, but of this Jewish woman who she was paying to raise the child as her own. So that ability to have mercy on the oppressed, even at the danger of going against Paro, is exactly what Bat Paro does. And the Pesukim use that same word, Vatar, the ability of Vatar, Vatachmol, etc. Additionally, Ray Angel notes, I think Ray Angel noted this one, but if not, someone else noted it, but it becomes obvious from the story, is that there's a missing piece to this story. Right, from Pasuk Yud, in Pasuk Yud we find out that Bat Paro raised Moshe. So we know that when he was an infant, right, when he was young and he didn't know anything, his mother raised him. But then when he was older, when he was actually mature, he grew up, right, from when he was a child, not a baby, but a child, he grew up in the house of Bat Paro. And then immediately, Pasuk Yud Aleph, he goes out, Vayitzei El Achav, and he sees his brothers, Vayar B'Siv Lotam. So what's missing between Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph? How does he know that they're Achav? And there's only one answer. Is Bar Paro must have told him. Which means not only did she train him to have empathy, she told him he was a Jew. Right? So his ability to go out and see the Jews as his brothers is a function, kanireh, of the fact that Bat Paro must have told him that he was a Jew, despite the dangers involved. Bat Paro is his mother in that sense, right? Right after her, right? There's nothing in between. That seems to be what is the simplest understanding of the story. Now, we don't... So, part one of Paro's, of Moshe's personality, we see very clearly how he got it from Bat Paro. Now, what about the other side of it, the fact that he's willing to see the truth, that he's willing to see God's hand in the world? So in the Psukim, we have no evidence for where that comes from, but this is what Rabbi Angel points out, is that Chazal went out of their way to read those characteristics into Bat Paro as well. If you look at 9, 10, and 11, so the Gemara in Sota Yudbet tells a story. Bat Paro was going to bathe at the water. That teaches you she was going down to bathe herself, to cleanse herself from her father's idolatry, meaning to convert. So we'll skip that line. The end of this line. She sees the teva. When she was, when the maidservant saw that she was going to go save Moshe, Amrullah, they said to her, "Kviratenu, our mistress, minat goshel olam melech basar v'dam gozer gzeira." When a king decrees, im kol olam kulo in mikayminota, even if the whole world doesn't keep the decree, banavu bnei beitom mikayminota, his family will. Va'at overet al gzeirat avicha, and you're violating what your father said, avich. But Gavriel v'chavtan bekarka, so Gavriel comes and shoves them into the ground. Va'tishlach ramata v'tikached, and she sends out her arm slash her Shivcha, and that's where the Midrash comes from. So what does the Gemara read into this story? That she wasn't just going to bathe and happened to have mercy. She was going to convert away from her father's religion. So as we noted, Moshe's ability to see spirituality is set up in the Psukim as a foil to Paro's inability. Chazal say, well, Bat Paro also was her anti-father. She was going to convert away from the religion of her father. Where did Chazal get that from? So Chazal did the following calculation. Moshe has two characteristics that make him Moshe. The first characteristic, the Torah tells you almost explicitly, he gets from Bat Paro. Well, he grew up in the house of Bat Paro. She gave him his ability to empathize. She told him he was a Jew. And he suddenly recognizes God and doesn't follow the religion of Paro. Well, where did he get that from? So Chazal say, well, it must be that Bat Paro herself had that characteristic that Paro didn't. And Moshe must have got it from her. The way Chazal say that is, she was converting. They also have a pasuk which they base themselves on in Divrei Hayamim in 10, where the pasuk says as follows: "V'ishto ha'yudiyah yaldat yered avi gedor v'chever avi socho v'yukutiyel avi zanoach." In the middle of its list of people in Divrei Hayamim, the pasuk ends: "V'eile b'nei bitya bat paro asher lakach mared." These are the children of the daughter of Batya, the daughter of Paro, who took Mared. What does that mean? So the Chazal interpret that pasuk in 11 to mean Ve'ela b'nei Bitya bat Paro. Rabbi Shua d'Sachnin b'shem Levi Amar la Kadosh Baruch Hu li'Batya bat Paro. Moshe lo haya bincha. Moshe wasn't your son. V'karato bincha. You called him b'neich. Rather, you called him your son. Af at lo et at biti. You're not my daughter. Vani korea otach biti. I'm calling you my daughter. Shenemar eile b'nei bidya bat paro. I'm sorry, b'nei bidya bat ka, the daughter of God. And right, we don't know the name of bat paro in the psukim, but Chazal are making a drash, and they're saying she was bat paro. She's named bat paro in the Torah. God makes her bat Ka, the daughter of God, because of what she did with Moshe. So again, Chazal are reading into this story all the characteristics that we have of Moshe into his adopted mother. And if you look at 13, in Rabbi Angel's summary, he explains this position. He writes, "There's something remarkable about the courage of Paro's daughter who defiled her own father and her society. In addition, several midrashim assume that Paro's daughter must have learned Hebrew in order to name Moshe using a Hebrew etymology. Midrashically, this combination points to some form of conversion from the paganism and immorality of her father associates an entire society. On a different plane, the Torah reports that a grown Moshe left the palace endowed with an incredible moral sense. In short order, he killed an Egyptian taskmaster, intervened in an Israelite quarrel, and stepped into a struggle amongst Midianites at the well. Where did this moral fortitude come from? Seemingly, it derived at least partially from Paro's daughter. Moshe's defiance of Paro and society parallels the heroism of his adopted mother. Moshe also instantly identified with his brethren, the Israelites. Perhaps Paro's daughter, who could have raised him as an Egyptian, reminded him who he really was. Since Moshe left the palace as a young adult, Paro's daughter forever lost her beloved adopted son, whom she had raised as her own. She likely was heartbroken, but also incredibly proud. She had raised a child who shared her vision of looking beyond the pagan immorality that characterized Egyptian society. From the Torah, we will never know who Paro's daughter was or even her name. But her moral courage in rescuing Moshe against her father's orders in the presence of her maidservants, and her nurturing Moshe's moral and Israelite identity changed the world by her rescuing and then raising the greatest individual who ever lived. We may view Paro's daughter's break from Egyptian immorality as a form of conversion from all Egyptian society, from Paro down to the maidservants." And he argues that this is, quote-unquote, Moshe's origin story, that he gets these qualities from his adopted mother. And that's what Chazal are trying to tell you. To add just one level to it, I mean, this is pointed out by, I think, this is an article I read in Tchumen over Shabbos, and Moshe Tal or something like that in Tchumen Chav Bet, where he notes just one more element that would deepen our understanding of this story. And he just notes that if you look in the story, and if we just skim it again, so from the beginning of Perek Bet, when we're introduced to Moshe, the Pasuk repeats one word over and over and over again when describing Moshe. And that is Yeled. And Moshe doesn't get a name until the end of the unit, until Bat Paro names him. Until Bat Paro names him, he has no name. And if you just look at the psukim, it's everyone is nameless, right? Vayikach ish mi beit Levi, vayikach bat Levi, right? Amram and Yocheved, who will find out who they are nameless. Vatari Isha, right? She's nameless. There's a man, there's a woman, she becomes pregnant, then Vatelet Ben, she has a son, Vaterato Kitovu, she sees that he's good, Vatzbetan Shloshay Rachim, Lechol Laod Hatzvino, she can't hide him anymore, Vatichalo Tevet Goma, Vatachmar Bachemar, Vazevet, Vasem Baida Yelet, so she puts the child in, Vatesim Basuf Asvare Or, Vatidavachotam Erchogl, Demaya Salo, and the sister stays to see what's going to happen to him. And now we've already seen. So Bat Paro goes down. Who's nameless? Pasuk Vav. Atiftach v'terev yelet. She sees the child, and then listen to how she describes him. Vine na'ar bocheh. Right. It just picks another word. She sees that the na'ar is crying. Vatachmol olav. And skipping down to the end of Pasuk Zayin, V'teinik lach et hayalet. I'll get you someone to nurse the child. V'tomer lo bat paro lechi v'teach alma. And Miriam is described as Ha'alma, the young girl. Vatikra et aim hayelad. She calls the mother of the yelad. Vatomer la bat paro helichi et hayelad. Take the yelad, hazev, inikiuli, v'netenes acharech, v'deach ha'isha hayelad v'tinikehu. And then she takes the yelad and she nurses him. V'yigdal hayelad, the yelad grows up, v'tivei levei paro. The bat paro, he's brought to bat paro, v'yilal levein. Vatikra shmo Moshe, now he gets a name. And now he gets a name, and what do you have after this? Right, when you skip now to Pasuk Yud Aleph, as soon as he gets a name, Vahibai Memahem, Vahidam Moshe, Vahitsei Alachav, now it's Moshe, he goes out, he sees, etc. What happens between the first half and the second half? So he says, if you just listen to the words, the feeling you get very much in the first few psukim is that Moshe is helpless, right? Everything is in pronouns. Everything is him, her, is anonymous. No one has names. The feeling you get is that there's these anonymous people who have this helpless child who somehow gets to the palace and then becomes Moshe. what's the feeling you get? And he says, the feeling you get very clearly is that the people aren't running the show. Right? Until Moshe gets to Bat Paro and gets named, no one has a name because they're not the real actors in the story. The psukim draw attention to the fact that there's this poor, innocent child who's being thrown into the river with all these nameless people doing things all around him to try to save him. But the feeling you get is that no one's really in control. No one is their own person in the story, which just emphasizes the fact that who is running the show? Hashem. So he notes that the first psukim, until you get to this, they're not just emphasizing that he's raised by Paro, but that Hashem orchestrated it so that he would be in the house of Paro. And he knows that Ibn Ezra says this for a different reason. If you look in Pasuk Yud Bet, in Source 12 here, the Ibn Ezra picks up on this and he says, "Umachshevet ha'machshavot Hashem amko." Now the thoughts of God are deep. Umi yuchal lamod besodo? Who could figure out what God wants? V'lo levad nidgavnu alilot. Ulai savav Hashem zeh shigadel Moshe v'vein amalchut. Maybe Hashem wanted him to grow up in the palace. Liot nafsho al madregal yona b'derech halimud v'regilut. V'lo yedesh ve'la regila liot b'veid avadim. So that he would be royal and not a slave. He would have a royal personality. Halo tireh. Because see, Sharaga Mitzriba Varshu Asa Hamas. He had the courage to kill the Mitzri because he did an injustice. It's one thing to have empathy. You also need to have courage to do that. You can't do that if you're the slave. You're not going to kill the taskmaster. But if you're royal, if your personality is one of royalty, coupled with that, you have the courage of royalty. Voshia b'not minyan maroim, ba'avur shayu osim chamas lashkot sonam me'amayim shlo, right? You have the courage to save the daughters of Yitro. V'od davar acher. And furthermore, this is a nice psychological point, right? He says, ki'ilo haya gadel ben achav ha'ikareim min urav, if they'd known him since he was young, lo yu yireim imen, or the Jews wouldn't have respected him, ki yachshavu ka'achad me'am. He also needed a little bit of distance from them, right? This is what every rabbi knows. You cannot be a rabbi in the community you grew up, right? You can, right? Sons-in-law can, because you didn't grow up here, you came as an adult, right? But you can't be...
Except in
Staten Island, actually, it's also, now in my parents' shul, the assistant rabbi grew up in the community. But he had to leave for like 10 years first. Like he went, he was a rabbi in another shul, and then, like he was, you know, then he came back. But it's very hard. You need to be distant. But what the Ibn Ezra is pointing out is that the story emphasizes that Hashem is running the show. There are no people here. Hashem wants him to grow up in the house of Bat Paro. Now, we can argue that part of the reason is what we said before. Not just what, right, not just what the Ibn Ezra said, which adds, right, that there were certain things that he needed to be in the house of Bat Paro because he needed to also be royal and need to be away from the Jews so that they would respect him, that he would have the royal personality. But in addition to what the Ibn Ezra says, which I think is also true, is that Hashem might have wanted him to be in the house of Paro, or specifically Bat Paro, because of these personality traits he was going to be able to get from his adopted mother. So when you combine those two with what Ibn Ezra says, you get an explanation of who was Moshe, and why did Hashem arrange that he specifically had to grow up where he did. So you combine it. He had to be royal, he had to be strong, he had to be separate from the Jews, but he also needed to grow up in the house of Bat Paro. He needed to be able to be open to spirituality, and he needed to be open to empathizing with other people. In the same article, he notes one other possibility, is it could be that it's undeniable in the story that Moshe got his empathy from Bat Paro. That seems to stare you in the face. Chazal, at least in the voices of Chazal that we see here, seem to read the second part of Moshe's personality into Bat Paro as well, that she was open to spirituality. He notes there are other midrashim that have a different possibility. And if I asked you, what's the other possibility, right? We don't know that he's open to spirituality yet, right? We know that he has the ability to empathize right after this story. But he meets somebody else before he encounters God at the Sinai. Who is that? Yitro, right? The second house he grows up in, he marries into, is Kohen Midyan. Is the only thing we know about him is that he's a priest. So he argues that maybe it's actually split. There's two unsung heroes in this story, right? We've argued that, at least according to one voice in Chazal, Bat Paro is the source both of his ability to empathize and his ability to be spiritual. But the other alternative in the story is that it's not A plus B in story one. It's that we have two consecutive stories that teach you how Moshe became Moshe. Bat Paro teaches him empathy and that he's a Jew. Then he flees to Midian and grows up in, or marries and grows up again in the house of Kohen Midian, this priest of Midian, who teaches him what it means to be spiritual, and then he goes to the Sneh. So the other possibility is that that second characteristic is not from Bat Paro, it's actually from Yitro. And he points to the Midrashim, who say that Yitro tried every religion in the world. And that was why when he eventually comes to Moshe at Har Sinai, he's able to say, I know that that Hashem is greater than all the gods. How did I know that he's greater than all the gods? Because he tried everything. But he said, what are Chazal trying to convey to you by saying that Yitro tried all religions? That he was constantly looking for the truth. He was always looking for that which was beyond. And he eventually sees it when he sees what God does in Mitzrayim. So if Yitro's personality, as Chazal understand it, is he who's always looking for the truth, and then when he sees it, recognizes it, well, maybe that's where Moshe got it from. So that would be an alternatively midrashic read of where Moshe gets the second part of his personality. So again, just to summarize, right, if we have this personality of Moshe, who is able to empathize, who knows that he's a Jew, and is able to speak, and is looking for spirituality, and that's what allows him to be, quote-unquote, the Ro'eh, who leads his flock of Bnei Israel to relive that same experience. Where did he come from? So the Psukim seem to say that maybe both aspects came from Bat Paro, both the empathy and the knowledge that he's a Jew and his ability to be spiritual. The other voice in Chazal is that that aspect comes from Yitro. And both of those elements make him the foil with Paro, because the story of Mitzrayim is really about Moshe fighting the culture of Egypt, represented by Paro, who both doesn't care that his people are suffering and refuses to see God's hand, even when it's staring him in the face. And which leads us next week to the actual story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, is how did Hashem try to educate Paro to bring him to that point? Because it's clear that the Makor are somewhat educational. What is Hashem trying to do to break down Paro? And why did, right, what fails? Right? What is it that Paro is not willing to recognize? So we're going to cover that next week, specifically what Hashem is trying to teach him, what it is Hashem wants him to see and he doesn't. On Shabbos, my share will be what it means that Hashem hardened Paro's heart, which is, you know, sort of a tangent which will fill out the story, but it's not necessary. So if you can't make it on Shabbos, you can still, you know, we will still continue in a logical order. It's not contingent on it, but it will add to it. Okay.